And we'll start with Kathy doing our roll call, please.
Cindy Biancamano.
Here.
Angela Bucheri. She's here.
That's okay, honey. That's all right. Sorry, I'm just muted because the dogs and the kids. My bad.
Hannah De Silva.
Yeah.
Dave Edgington.
Here.
Jason Griffin.
Here.
Corinne Halliday.
Here.
Evelyn Payson.
Here.
Kathy Sabo is here. And Lee Griffin is here. And Ed Bader is here.
You forgot me.
Who's me?
Gary.
Oh, Gary Peterson. I'm sorry, Gary.
Come on.
I said Hannah. Okay. That's everybody.
So, can we have motions to accept the minutes? There's two different minutes we need to accept, right, Kath?
Yes.
So, let's do the acceptance of minutes from the January meeting first, the motion to accept those.
I'll make that motion.
I second it.
All in favor, raise your hand.
Everyone is in favor.
And same thing, acceptance of minutes with the special 5-minute meeting that we had.
Sure, I'll make that motion again.
I'll second.
All in favor of accepting those minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Everyone's in favor.
Motion carries. I'm not sure if we have any public comment tonight. Do we have?
Not that I know of. No one's here. I mean, if Lee or Ed want to say something other than out of there.
I do have a request from the pavilion for February 23rd, if you want to consider that public comment. They're requesting to reserve the pavilion for a wedding ceremony, approximately 20 people. They're also requesting that we open the gate so the snow can be cleared off the beach for the ceremony.
We don't usually rent that in February, do we?
No.
Well, there has been a couple of, I mean, they can do it without our permission.
Right.
I request a contract just so they understand the rules and regulations, but no, they didn't have to.
My understanding, Lee, was outside of normal, our normal summer hours, it was first come, first serve, and like, you're on your own. It's like going to a pavilion anywhere.
Well, the question is, they're wanting to clear the snow for the ceremony.
Yeah, that's, I don't know about that. I mean, maybe Gary can speak to that. Will that, is that going to ruin the beach if they start pushing?
Well, it depends. If they get down and start pushing the sand around, it's going to be a mess.
I would say no.
I would really defer to that.
I would say no also.
Yeah.
Well, how much snow do they want to clear? Just enough to get to the pavilion?
First beach. They're wanting to set up, my understanding is they set up on first beach.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. They should have given us a little more notice.
It's kind of an emergency type thing. They're having the ceremony because apparently they have a family member that is passing. To rush and get the ceremony done prior to passing of the loved one.
It's going to be cold.
I'm not sure that we should really be bothered by this since it's off season. I think we should just let it go and it's out there.
They're welcome to use the pavilion.
And you know who it is, Lee, so if we see that the sand is plowed up, obviously I will make them fix it.
Well, they won't be able to get in there because the gate is locked, so.
Right.
Well, they want the gate unlocked.
So they can get in there and have someone clear it.
But if it's 20 people, I mean, I wouldn't let them plow the beach. Why would they need to plow the beach?
I think it should just be kept at the pavilion. I don't get the whole beach thing.
Okay. I told them I would call them back, so I will let them know that they're welcome to have the ceremony at the pavilion. However, we do not wish to have any equipment or snow removal from the beach.
That's how I feel, yes.
Yeah.
If they have to come out any snow shovel and shovel a little bit of the beach, that's fine, but,
I have a contract. They did fill out the pavilion request form as I requested, because anyone that is going to reserve the pavilion, per se, I don't really care. We can change the wording on the contract. It behooves us to have people sign it so we know who's responsible if something happens.
I don't think it's a good idea to sign contracts outside of our normal summer hours, Lee. It's always been, if you want to use it, there, use it. I just don't think it's a good idea to start having a formal contract for off-season stuff.
I kind of agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, there was some outside circumstances, you know? They probably can't have it inside anywhere.
And the amount of it is good.
We're letting them use it.
Right. But like I say, the reason for having them sign the contract is they understand their responsibility.
And I guess typically is it
a member of our association?
Yes, it is.
So is it a reasonable member of our association? I mean,
that I don't know.
That shouldn't matter, Cindy. That really shouldn't matter.
So I think typically outside of the season we shouldn't worry about it, but knowing that they're asking to plow and we're saying please don't do that, then if we don't have that in writing and something happens, I don't know. Part of me totally agrees let's not get into contracts in the off season. But again, if we want it in writing that we're asking you because of the condition of the beach, if you start plowing the snow, the impact on the sand, and please don't do that, and we don't have that in writing,
right,
is that going to come back and bite us?
Yeah, it might, because we have no recourse otherwise that we haven't intimated to them that they cannot mess up the beach and leave it missing. That if there is something that they do with the plow, they will have to repair it. And we can't hold them to that unless we have it in writing.
We're not
unlocking the gate, so they can't plow.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Okay. You know
what
it's been since that code was changed on that gate?
That what?
The gate is the lock of the combo, right?
Right.
It's been the same for a long time. I mean, you don't know if they know what it is. I have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with having a contract. Just so I don't know what they can and can't do.
We're not requiring, I'm not asking for a deposit. It's really just that we know if something, especially a group of that size, if something happens, we can somewhat hold them accountable.
Okay, so how about this? To try to make everybody happy, how about if we send them an email or a phone call or whatever saying, we don't offer contracts during the off season. We prefer that the beach sand does not get disturbed. You're welcome to use the pavilion. Have a great wedding. I mean, is that fair?
The snow may be melted by then, too. It's supposed to be in the 50s next week.
If we have to go to a contract with them, are we, like, guaranteeing them that it's not icy, it's not this, that? No. Okay.
I think a contract would be working against us. I really do.
As your insurance coordinator, I'll tell you, it's just the opposite, Dave. We follow a standard policy. Anytime anybody wants to use the pavilion for a private affair, it should come under the rental agreement.
That's only during the summer months. That we have never, to my knowledge, rented it with a contract off summertime. I think it's a bad habit to get into.
I agree with Dave.
Well, we have a Halloween party in October, don't we?
But that was an association-sponsored one.
Yeah.
We're going to leave the contract as is. I do have this one signed, but going forward, it's first come, first served. Whoever uses it, uses it.
Right.
There's no way to tell if they're a member or not.
I think if we just stated that it has to be put back in the condition it was, you know, like I had something in January and I had a a fire pit down there, and I just made sure that when I left, all the burnt pieces of wood came with me, and the beach was put back the way it was. I think that's what we need to do, not bust the top. So it's fine to get back to them and say, that's fine, you can use the pavilion. The beach must be left in the condition it was. I don't really care if you open the gate or not open the gate, but
no, don't open the gate.
No, open the gate.
Don't open the gate.
Okay, so we're not opening the gate, but just something to that effect. That's my personal opinion.
All right, and going forward, the contract on the website, we're not doing anything outside the gate, just so I'm clear. I'm not responsible.
That would be my agreement.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's fine. I just wanted to get your opinion and your approval. So.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, please.
Thank you. So, is there any other public comment? No? Okay, let's roll right into financial report. Lee, do you want to go first?
Sure. I sent out my report. I'll run through it real quick. Since our last meeting, we've been really quiet. Income of $211.13. Expenditures, $5,599.11. Our budget actual, we budgeted $225,202 actual, $224,43.78 with a difference of $853.27. For income, expenses, we budgeted $225,202. Actual expenditures, $161,381.58 with a difference of $63,820.42. Overall account balances, I provided all the documentation to support my report. If you have any questions, you're certainly welcome to reach out to me or ask me now.
Any questions?
Nope. Sounds good.
Nope.
Okay. So we need a motion to accept the treasurer report?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor, raise your hand.
Aye.
So it's unanimous. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Blake. Add tax collection report?
Okay. Very short. As I reported last month, all of the July 1st, 2020 property taxes that were levied have been collected. The East Haddam tax assessor is working on making final adjustments to the October 1st, 20th, 2020 grand list, and the association's portion of the grand list should be ready by the end of the month. At the April board meeting, April and or the May board meeting, depending on when I get it from her, the board will set the association mill rate for taxes to be levied on July 1st, 2021. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Ed.
I have a question for Ed.
Any questions?
Just because I can't remember. Is this the second year we've collected 100%?
No, we've collected...
without going into latenesses and all that sort of stuff.
And well, people are always late. But we've collected 100% for the last, as long as I've been tax collector.
Maybe I worded that wrong. It seems like we always had a reserve for people in jeopardy billing, but this is like the second year we've had no jeopardy billing going into effect.
Well, right? No, that the jeopardy billing is only if they are a chronic delinquent. If they were a chronic delinquent, if we put them into collection and they have been delinquent 2 years out of the last four, I can ask for next year's estimated taxes to be paid as a part of the collection process. This year we put nobody in collection because everybody paid, so there would be no jeopardy billings as of July 1st, 2021.
I think that's what I meant. Was it this year we had no one go to collection? Or was it just the first year? I just can't remember.
First year that we've had nobody going to collection, yes.
So right. That's good. Hopefully it's a trend and we can continue that way. That's great.
I hope so. Any other questions?
Any more questions for Ed?
No.
So, motion to accept the tax collector's report.
I make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor, raise your hand.
And say aye.
Aye, Evelyn.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Ed. So, President's report, just a few things, big things. The Silvestri, Tony Silvestri that spoke with us, he contacted me and said, what were the results of your board meeting? And I said to him, you can listen to the whole board meeting. And he did, and then he contacted me back and said, who do I contact for legal issues? So I gave him our attorney's name. But thus far, our attorney has not gotten anything from him, so we're kind of in a lull with him. Also, Mr. Byron, I sent you all a copy of the letter that our attorney sent Mr. Byron, and obviously the day he received it, he emailed me and said, please call me. So I got back to him and said, just please contact our attorney. And I talked to Attorney Cohen today. He has not contacted Attorney Cohen, so that's in a lull, I guess, too. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's in a lull. I spoke with Carrie Eckhart, and she is willing to help us format our spring packet. She can only do it in Word, and she needs it put into a PDF. So Mike, our webmaster, said that he would help with that to transfer it over to a PDF. So that's good. Swim lessons. The person that we had on the spring has said no, she can't do it because she doesn't want to get that extra $1 million full harmless policy that we require. So we're back to square one on swim lessons. Jeff Stone from the farm asked me if he could do informative inserts into the newsletter about gardening and the best ways, organic stuff and everything, and I think that's a great idea. So I said we didn't have a problem with that as long as it wasn't turning into an advertising thing. You know, she can tell people what's going on with the farm because we need to promote, you know, young farmers and stuff. And so she will submit, hopefully, you know, our newsletter gets a little dull. So hopefully she can submit weekly some interesting articles that people would be interested in on a lot of different aspects of that. So we can expect that to come up. And then the only other thing I had was, I don't know the answer to this, but I wanted to ask you, when do we start with like a budget committee, a nominating committee, bylaw revision committee? When does this all come into play? Does anybody know?
The budget committee, you appoint a budget committee. You can do it any time, at any point in time.
Okay.
The process will be usually starting around May.
Okay.
The bylaw committee, you can take what was done last time and then appoint a budget bylaw committee.
So I appoint a bylaw committee too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that can be done anytime?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if you want it to be included in the for the August meeting for vote, it should be done sooner rather than later.
Right, right. We have to get working on it. Okay, so budget, nominating. Oh, yeah. What about nominating committees?
The same thing with the nominating committee. You can start as early as you want.
So again, I select the nominating committee.
Yes, yeah, you select the nominating
committee. Okay. I wasn't sure how it went. We never did that when I was pregnant.
There's some rules in the charter or in the bylaws about, you know, being the nominating committee being representative of the three beach areas kind of thing.
Yeah, I read that. I just wasn't sure of the timing.
Right, and it shouldn't be a board member.
Right, right.
On the committee.
Okay.
Well, that's not in the bylaws, though, right? That's not in the bylaws.
I believe it is.
Okay.
We can check that.
Yep.
I don't know the answer, Kath. But we can certainly check that. So as president's report, that's really all that I have. There's been a couple people that are new members, new residents that just had little simple questions that I answered, but like how do I become a member of the association and who do I contact? Do you have any, like he didn't know that his trash was included in his fees, so just stuff like that, but nothing big.
You just told him no, it's $50 a month and send it in.
No, but I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, so you had your closing and you don't know that you're a member of the association, and please don't hire an outside hauler to haul your trash. Just put it out on Fridays. So,
it's a shame there isn't a clear process with the association if people buy it.
Well,
Charlene used to be in charge. She did it. She was, you know, she was the only game in town. She handed that stuff out because I got all that when we bought. She had a packet she gave you with all that information, but there's so many realtors working the lake now, can't really do that.
But could we put that on our website?
Sure. If they know where to go.
Well, we have a section for new, I think it says new members and new homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, couldn't we add on to that? You know, your trash is collected by all ways on these days.
Well, that is in there. The problem is someone buying the house doesn't even know we have a website.
Right. At the closing, if they're paying due.
Well, if you have a good seller, they would tell you we're closing.
Right.
Exactly.
If you have a good seller.
That isn't true. When the attorneys call me for the tax, taxes on the association, I send them a letter with basically informing them of the fact that there is a website. It's about a one-page thing that describes the association, that they are members, and they pay their taxes. There is a website, and ask them to review it. If they have any questions, they can call. So it's there. And it, for every house that closes, that uses an attorney, they get a letter. And then they get also the information form that we use to update constantly.
Right. Well, okay. So these people might just not have paid attention. I don't know. I just wondered how we did that. So.
They might not have used an attorney either. It could have just been sold to
Your
friend or something.
And Ed, on a sidebar, did you get back to Tina Good? She had a question this week. I think she sent it to you and I about some properties being sold. She needed the tax info.
Yeah, she the real estate, depending on the real estate agent, some agents will ask for that information so they can put it into the listing.
Right.
Which I gave her that information.
Okay.
It's public information, so you just give
right.
it. And I have a... We give it to them.
Okay,
request it.
Okay. So that's all that I have for President's Report. Does anybody have any questions?
I just wanted to comment because you all brought up the nominating committee, and I don't have the charter or bylaws in front of me, but I'm pretty sure board member pantheon on it, and even if it's not in writing, it would be a very bad look for current board members to be on the nominating committee. That's just my opinion, but I also think it's somewhere that they can't be on it.
Corinne,
I think it's that way.
Somebody was talking, I looked it up, and it is silent about, it doesn't preclude board members from being on the nominating committee.
It's probably a good practice, though.
Yeah, I think that's what prior boards have decided. It basically says the president shall each year appoint a nominating committee consisting of three members, one from each district where possible, for the purpose of selecting candidates for the successors to the members of the board whose terms are expired. Okay? It's silent about existing board members, but it's always been the practice as long as I've been around not to have a board member on the committee. So
okay.
But also, I think we need to have a discussion before a nominating committee comes to be with some guidelines that say something that what happened last year does not happen again. What they did to Jeff Conway was wrong, and it was wrong. It was wrong.
Well, but they did their job. I mean, they did.
No, it was wrong, Corinne. It was wrong.
I respectfully don't agree. But yeah. They did their job. They're supposed to nominate a certain amount of people, and that's what they did. So, you know, whether you agree or disagree with them, I think they did their job.
I think we as an association need to be better than that. You know.
Oh, well. I don't know what that means.
It was kind of a mean thing. It was kind of a really mean thing, and I think we're a community, you know. So, and we're volunteers. It's not like it's, you know, we're paid to do this.
I'm sorry if I don't recall, but what did they do to Jeff Conway?
They didn't nominate him, which was wrong.
Not one of them.
He was a current board member that wanted to continue in his duties, and. You know, if someone else from the association wanted to nominate someone from the floor against them, that's fine. But it's just wrong.
Well, I don't think you just keep nominating somebody that's already on the board, just no matter what, because they're already on the board. So I don't think they were wrong. I think they did their job. I mean, but that's just. So just because somebody's on the board, I don't think they keep getting nominated every year, no matter what. I know reflection on Jeff, but I don't know that.
Like reelecting Trump just because he's president for the second term.
Okay,
that's different. That's you can't even compare that, David. That's not even Trump.
No, but I mean, next year you could all of a sudden get, I don't know, you could get fresh faces that, hey, he'd be much better than Corinne Halliday, and you know, that's what happened. I don't know. He still could get nominated from the floor. They definitely did their job. The year before, you know, we had too many people not. It was crazy.
Corinne, in the 20 years that I've been here, I have never seen anybody who wanted to be back on the board not allowed to have their name on the ballot. I agree, it's very wrong. That's why, you know, if you want to get back on the board, your name goes on the ballot with everybody else. It's not an automatic buy, but you should have the right to be voted on.
Okay, well, you also have that right. You have the right to be nominated on the floor.
So when a nominating committee is picked, could we all just have this discussion with the nominating committee before
sure.
they start? Would that be fair?
Sure.
I think it would.
Yeah.
But you can't tell them that they have to.
We're not telling them. I'm not suggesting that we tell them. I'm suggesting that we have this conversation because there's obviously people on this board that feel differently than other people on this board, and I think it wouldn't hurt to just have a discussion about it once the nominating committee is chosen. We're not telling them anything. We're just discussing pros and cons.
Yeah. They should pick the best candidate, whether they're on the board or not.
I don't know. Then they become a little less neutral. It's my opinion. I'm allowed to voice my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It should influence them too much either way. I don't. I think it's very good to have like a past president on the nominee. I think it helps a lot organizationally to have Gail and other people that they're involved with.
Yeah.
But.
So separate than Jeff, I know that someone else was told that they were going to be on the ballot and then got a call like, never mind, we were wrong. So again, I'm not speaking to the Jeff piece because I don't know how that was handled, but, you know, so I think maybe having a conversation and just some guidelines. So, you know, maybe if they decide to not invite a board member back, maybe there has to be a certain, like, protocol or a courtesy of a phone call. I don't know what it should be, but I think, someone and be like, your name's going to be on the ballot, and then you get a call, like, 2 days later, like, oh, dang, never mind. Like, you know, things like that, we should probably just have, you know, a couple protocols in place that kind of guide their process.
Right, you're right. Kind of what I was saying, yeah. And I think it was actually probably the first time we had this problem, right?
Right.
And we had all these
people. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Correct. It is wonderful.
We had a lot of good people that wanted to be on this board, so it wasn't
great. It's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, so I think we kind of all agree that a conversation is not a bad thing to have.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on with committee reports, Angela, do you want to go with your event?
Yeah, and again, I picked it up, but I just realized I never seen it, so I apologize for that. So Evelyn has set contracts out for 3 different bands. In addition to that, we have 2 bands that are playing at no cost, which is fabulous.
So that's 5 bands altogether?
Yeah, and we're only paying for 3 of them. So okay. That's great. I spoke with Lisa Rogers, and she's going to continue to offer the adult craft events. She's going to do 2 adult crafts and 1 family craft. So we spoke at great length. Like, you know, I was just trying to understand what, you know, how things were done in the past and making sure that, you know, she was comfortable. And so she's going to this year put out a donation jar. For a suggested donation of $5 to help cover the supplies. She's never asked associations for money before. But again, you know, things have been a little different the past year or two. So hopefully, you know, that'll help just offset some of her costs that she has so generously donated all of these years. I had to move the Words on Wood party to another date on the draft calendar. Dave has volunteered to run a setback tournament. The sign-up auction has been set for June 26th. We have a contract out for an acoustic set. So again, if we're having a sign-up auction and want people to hang around and spend lots of money so that we could earn and put a little bit more into the events budget and do more fun things this summer, we have that in place and we're working on getting a food truck for that date. Phil Sable is going to run a fried dough night to try and raise a little bit of funds to offset some of the costs for the kids bingo. John, and I forget his last name, and I know this is so horrible, he's a second feature. He owns Big Daddy's Twisted Tees. He's going to do a team craft and do some tie-dye with the kids in July. Colleen has agreed to continue doing the kids' craft night. She's going to run those on Thursdays. So her and I will meet when the weather gets warm and see what perished in the year that there were no crafts and what's still usable down at the pavilion and work through you know, what she needs and making sure that she has a budget that's appropriate. And then we were working on getting Cousin's lobster truck for August 14th because we have a band coming that night. Because in the survey was put out, that was something from the membership that they were looking for some food trucks. So we're kind of working on the camp out night. I know we talked about maybe a new member happy hour. There's a couple things kind of in the works. 2 things I wanted to discuss, and I'm not sure if it should happen here or new business or old business because it's related to events. But I know a while back I had shared some information in regards to pricing. Go ahead, Jason.
I'll let you raise your hand.
So I shared some information, and then I talked to Dave, and Gary and I played a little bit of email tag, and it didn't really connect. But we talked about, or I shared some pricing for screens and maybe a projector that was owned by the association. For movie nights, and I'm thinking, you know, if it's a COVID, you know, summer and you can't do normal things, you know, lots of musicians are sharing concerts and such, so I don't know if everyone's had a chance to look at that. You know, I spoke with Dave at great length, you know, about what's already there and what's wired in and what kind of makes the most sense, because I don't want to do anything in a silo. You know, so Dave has shared that, you know, there's the wiring there for speakers, so I don't know if that's something that we kind of do, like, all together, or if we keep things separate, but I don't know if that's something that we wanted to discuss further, or if anyone had questions about, or major objections to.
No, I mean, I remember when you sent that out, Angela, and I think I commented back on what my thoughts were on some of the things that you picked out, but I think you should just, I mean, I think we all have decided that, you know, you should just buy these things, right?
Okay.
I mean,
I'm just making sure that there's no, because I feel like you share a lot of emails, right?
Yes.
I'm just making sure before I do anything that there were not any, like, last-minute thoughts.
No, just, you know, coordinating. I know that Dave Eddington, you know, you were looking at a sound system, just making sure it all coincides. That's all, right?
Okay. So Dave, maybe you and I will reconnect and just make sure that whatever we do kind of makes sense and works together.
Sure.
And then the other thing that I wanted to mention is with the reduction to the budget for events from the budget committee, one of the suggestions was to maybe offset some of the adult costs by having the adults donate and trying to have those events kind of pay for themselves and not being a full cost to the association. So I would like to suggest that we create some kind of option for the membership for some kind of electronic payment, be it Venmo or something else. I think if we're asking people to pay for things, we need to make it easy for them to pay for things. Not everyone has cash. I can't tell you the last time I wrote a check. So again, I think if that's going to become our practice, because that's, you know, what we're trying to do to keep the cost, the association fees, the same and not raise them on our members, then we do need to talk about how we're going to make it convenient for them to make that payment. So I'm not sure.
Just as a show of hands, how many of you use Venmo? Okay.
Yeah.
And PayPal.
And my guess is that would probably be the membership, right? Like, there's probably some people who would never take advantage of that because that's not.
Yeah. There's some that aren't, but don't use it.
I don't even know what it is.
I have no idea what it is.
Well, I do, but I would say, I'll teach you through dinosaurs. It's very simple. Thank you. Three dinosaurs.
Thanks, Mom.
Three dinosaurs.
Thank you, Mom.
Only because my children owe me money and they never pay me unless I can use Venmo.
Correct. That's how I put my rent for my kids. Venmo. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you can send notes and say, rent's due.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how do we want to move forward on this? Like, how does this work then? How does it, as an association, how do we set up a Venmo or a PayPal or both? They're both free, right? I mean,
well, I know Venmo is free, but I think it's from peer to peer. I think once you get into like business sort of transactions,
yeah, true.
So if we set it up as an association, we might all of a sudden find there's fees involved in it. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. Is PayPal the same way?
Yeah.
There's a tie from them.
What did you say, Hema?
I think there are some charges that the PayPal puts in. The other option is Square. The Square you can just charge on a credit card.
Yeah, but we can't do that.
And there's fees with that.
There's definitely fees for the credit card.
Yeah.
I know that Jeff Stone is using it for the farm. So those of you that are, you know, year rounders and up there, I don't know if they set it up for the farm or if she just has it to her name, like, and how they did that. So that might be someone with personal experience rather than just doing research on a website. To kind of see.
Is that Venmo? She has
her Venmo, yeah. Because I was so excited because I always have to have cash for the box for the farm, and I'm not always good about having cash. So when she had Venmo, it was like one of the highlights of my life. I was so excited that I could get all my stuff and systems into my cash for her phone.
So basically,
it depends where people are sending money from. If they're sending it from a bank account, they're okay. But like, I don't know if Venmo is linked to somebody's credit card, you may get a fee. But I don't know. I'm one of the dinosaurs in this row, so I'm not sure.
So basically, you want people to pay for the events, or?
So that was one of the suggestions that came from the budget committee to offset some of the reduction in the budget was to try and have the events that were for adults, not for kids, either to be able to sustain themselves in some way. So again, if it was that you're paying for a ticket for ladies' night or whatever it is, so that it's not that everything just looking back at the cost of some of the things that we were doing, it's not going to work on the budget we have. So it has to come from somewhere if we don't want to raise association fees, right?
Right.
And I don't think it's horrible if we do it in a fair and consistent manner, but I do think we need to be mindful of it's 15 minutes to get to town. Not everyone has cash. If you're going to say, for this amount, it suggests a donation of $5 or $10, whatever it is, to kind of offset the cost a little bit, we have to make it easy for people to pay us because people are like, oh, I forgot my wow letter. Oh, I didn't know we were doing that this year. And again, if you make it easier, I think some of those things will go away.
The ladies have already paid for it anyway. I'm not really in favor of a lot of other stuff having to be paid for. I think it's just part of the association.
I agree.
Not with this year's budget.
You can get it through.
Jason?
I think they've been reducing the amount that's been given to the social committee year after year from what I gathered at the time.
I think the problem with Venmo or PayPal that we'll see, and I'd love to get up these Venmo somehow, is if we tie it to the association, the money's going to go into the association's checking account or something.
Correct.
And you're just going to have all these amounts flying into the account and not knowing what they're for.
Well, you can just transfer it monthly. It stays in your Venmo account until you physically transfer it.
Right, but I tell you,
but you're not going to know where.
And who paid you what and for what. Like my Venmo is my name, so you know it's from me, and I can put in the note, like, you know, whatever the event is for. But if people don't do that, I think Jason's point is you're going to have money coming in, you're not going to know.
There could be five events in a month, and all of a sudden you're not knowing which money is coming from what event.
Oh, I see. Well, you could limit it to just paying that evening for Venmo.
And the other thing is, Venmo. I mean, it's always whoever's running the event. I mean, when they do the cakewalk, someone's down there taking cash and holding it. There's no why the person, as long as they're running an event and they have their own Venmo account, they couldn't collect it on their Venmo and then get, you know, cash the money out of their account and give it to the association. I don't know. Either way, they're holding on to money, whether it's real cash or digital cash.
Right.
Cash is king. The green thumb.
Well, I understand Angela's point.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to investigate.
Obviously, the age of most of us, and that, is the way of the world.
It's just tacky.
But I don't know how we could do that with the whole... My husband's taking his test because he doesn't use Venmo or whatever. I do.
My husband doesn't use it, but then every other day, it's like,
you know what?
Someone's Venmo
using
it.
Well, I guess the thing is we can have a conversation about it. We don't need to talk about it. It's something else for interest.
It really comes down to how does the association get, or whoever is collecting money on Venmo, how do I get those funds?
Right, so I think if there's a way for it to go to the association or, you know, to Leah's treasurer, if there's a way for it to go there without fees, that's probably the easiest, right? But if it becomes, if I'm doing this event and Jason's doing that event and Kathy's doing another event, like that, but I guess that's just as messy as trusting people with cash. I don't know. But again, I think if that's what we're going to be looking at and doing, then we have to kind of just, and again, Jason's right, we don't have to decide tonight, but I think it's something we need to think about. I think we need to make it easy for members if it's something that we think we have to do.
We could come up with our own electronic currency, like Bitcoin or something.
Everything we're looking at it is that even if there is a fee, I don't know what the fee is for Venmo. I haven't dealt with Venmo at all. If there is a fee, we will know what the percentage is, and it'll be like the cost of doing business. So we'll still get some money more than what we are getting now, because you have some income for each of those events, and that's better than no additional revenue coming other than what you get from the association.
It is usually a couple percent. You know, you're talking about...
Yeah, it's not a high... I don't know that it would be a big amount, but PayPal can be high depending on whether it's a non-profit or a for-profit agency. So there are variations in the fees that PayPal charges. With the credit card, with the Square, it is a uniform charge, no matter what the item is. It doesn't matter whether it's a for-profit or a non-profit agency.
Okay, so how about, does anybody want to take on the task of just doing a little research and seeing if there is, if it is available to municipalities and what the fee would be? Okay, I guess that would be me.
I'll do it.
I've been actually doing some web surfing while we've been talking about it.
Okay.
On Venmo.
I know there's no charge for Venmo, but I just don't know, like, because we're not just an individual person.
Right.
And again, Jason, why don't you and I take that test down and get some more information for our March meeting, okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, great.
My last comment
on this. It just sounds like it would get very scary for Lee as far as all these different things coming in and what they were for. But that's my last comment.
I agree.
It needs to be clear. Make it needs to be easy and simple for Lee and the association.
Right.
Well, it needs to be for everyone. You know.
Right.
Right.
The person that's doing it as an event coordinator, and then when the money gets to me.
Well, I think we need to face it because we're all going to be gone at some point, and
exactly.
and the younger people are going to take over, and they don't even know what cash is. So you know, we may not be able to do it now, but eventually that's going to be the way it is. That they do it. So
I don't know how many of you noticed, but the country of Sweden is actually at like 98% cashless society right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Thankfully,
yeah.
The elderly, the very elderly, are the ones using cash, but they pretty much have their cash completely.
Okay. All right, so Angela, I guess Jason and I will kind of do some research and see how that goes.
Okay, great.
So could you just send us your report at some point?
I will do that.
Okay. It sounds like you did a lot of great work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And there's one other thing, but this might be for like a later date. I looked on the website, and I do not, like, the list of things that have to be done if someone wants to host an event, and I mentioned an event package that I can't find anywhere. So I started trying to clean that up and have it be like that everything is linked and you're not bouncing around. So I started working on that with Evelyn. I shared it with Lee. I think I might be missing the mark on a thing or two, but Lee and I will connect and maybe bring that, I'll send that out to the group. But really, like, not knowing how things were done in the past and being new to the board, when I opened that, I was like, oh my gosh, I would never want to volunteer to do any event if this is what I saw, like the way that it's kind of set up. So, you know, I just try to make it a little bit more clear and link in forms where it mentions forms so people aren't going back and forth. And just making it a little bit more user friendly. But again, not knowing exactly how it was used in the past, I may have missed the thing, so I'm gonna work on that. And as part of that too, you know, kind of giving people the option if there's something that they want to run for the association that's their passion or their background, even if it's not already on the calendar, if they want to share that with me and there's room to get it on the calendar, you know, there's a lot on the calendar and it'll be ready to be shared in March and in the newsletter, but if there are other things that people want to bring, I would like to encourage that and allow them to do so and would embrace that if, you know, people got like more involved and did that. So I was kind of trying to incorporate that in there too. Kathy already filled it out for me that she would, you know, run some meditation for us. But I think it's really nice to just kind of, you know, open it up to the membership and maybe not always do the things we've always done and let other people kind of jump in and lead and do some things that they would like to bring forward.
Yeah, I think the forum,
you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think the forum is great. All the links on the forum is just perfect. And, I think it definitely streamlined it and it's will make it much easier.
Yeah, I just got to make sure because all that stuff comes to Lee. So I got to make sure it makes sense to Lee and I'm getting what he needs because I don't want to make his job any harder. So him and I will touch base and then I will get that out to everyone via email.
Can I be part of that conversation?
Right. Absolutely. I would never leave
you. We're all in this together. Anything else on events? Any questions for Angela or anything? Okay, good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Kathy, do you have anything for Secretary's report?
No.
Okay. Gary? Hello, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Gary,
that was
his ice cream.
I don't have any
report. Sure,
Paul was
no way doing it.
Gary's having ice cream coma.
I don't have an ice cream.
I have something for Gary, though. We talked last fall about putting up another boat rack up at First Beach.
Yes, we did.
Okay, I just want to make sure that is going to happen in the spring, and if you need someone to help with that or work out in that, I'm willing to jump in and figure that out or just make it happen sometime, you know, in April, early April, before people start coming with their boats.
Yeah, it's on the list there. Send Bill down and give me handy.
Well, I will, but I'm telling you, I'll spearhead it if you need someone to just get out there and do it and get some people out there, I can do that. But you just have to let me know. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's on my list to do. So we'll do it before April 1st.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
That's when they start doing remote, so.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
And I just had a question, Gary. Are we going to do Sand Beach, repair the bench for Sandy Day at Second Beach?
Cause yeah, I'm hoping once the weather gets better, I can work on some of those benches there. So.
Okay. Because I'm happy to help with that, too.
Okay.
Yes, properties report. Any questions for Gary?
While we're on the mention of the bench, I have been researching the flag for it. What do you think would be more appropriate, hippies or resistance on the plaque?
Sorry, did you say that again?
The plaque typically comes with flowers or something.
Yeah.
Questions? I know Andy always loved the Montagnes bees. And you know, is this zinnias? Which would you prefer?
You pick, Lee. You knew her well.
Okay, done.
Yep.
We're happy with whatever you pick.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on to Corinne for the lake quality.
Okay, I mean, last meeting I submitted some notes that I know you all saw, so I won't go over, you know, all the grants. Obviously, the Lake Quality Improvement Committee has been very busy this winter applying for different grants. Last week, we got our second grant application into the state of Connecticut. The first one was a federal grant that we're trying to get. That the federal grant would be money for a bioretention basin, the property that we bought behind the tennis courts. It would, if we get it. It would help pay for the construction of that. If we don't get it, this is a grant that comes up every year, so we'll reapply again next January. We'll keep at it. But, all these grants kind of are looking for different things, and that's what fit that grant. The second grant we got in last week was a Connecticut grant, and this we submitted a project that was dealt with more intensive algae testing. I could send you the actual grant application and it could explain exactly what that would entail. But hopefully we'll hear about that probably maybe the month of March, maybe April 1st, we'll see. If we don't get that grant money, we will continue to do what we're doing right now. If we do get the grant money, then we can do a much larger, more expansive algae study. Either way, nothing we're doing will cost the association more money as far as the second grant is concerned. So it's all within the list budget. We're also just applied for a third grant. There's an association out there called EPOC, EPOC, which stands for Environmental Professionals Organization of Connecticut. One of our members on the east side, Rick Green, told us about it. And so we just applied for a $2,400 grant to do some actual outflow testing to test the water actually coming down the hills on the west side and a couple of the outflows on the east side. We're really trying to determine where the nitrogen and phosphorus are coming from. And then hopefully the end of August have a presentation for our whole lake community as to what everybody individually could do to protect our lake. We're just trying to be very proactive. We feel like not that we have the invasive weed problem in hand, but we at least have that in a maintenance program. Our fixation going forward a little is to be on any potential algae problems we have. I mean, I think when this LIC committee was formed years ago, Randy and Felicia and consultants helped, that they've always been very proactive so that we don't run into the big problems where you get to the point where you're one of these lakes and all of a sudden the whole lake shut down because they've got an issue. So I applaud this LIC community. We have the SLIC committee. We have a lot of very hard workers. I just kind of maybe manage it. But we have a lot of superstars on it. And as you know, if you read my notes from last month, we also got our watershed management plan it could take 6 months to review it. We're still waiting to see if they have any further work that they want us to do on it. But we're very proud of finally getting that done also. I reached out to Solitude to schedule our treatment for our weeds this summer. It will again be that last week in June, right before the 4th, either on that Monday or Tuesday, so that it doesn't ruin any weekend, much less
the 4th of July weekend, but they always have to wait till that late period of time. Just the weeds have kind of some growth by then. They can't do it much earlier. The other thing is we are, me and Ed, I'm not sure if anyone else, we are going to sit in on a budget workshop with the town of East Haddam this Saturday morning from 9 to maybe noon. Ed and I are trying to take over for Randy and Felicia. As some of you may or may not know, they're not going to be lake residents for much longer, and they have spearheaded the Three Lakes Association's work with the town of East Haddam and have coordinated, you know, the monies we receive every year from the town. And of the Three Lakes, Ed and I were the only ones who volunteered to try to take over for them and be the front women and men for the Three Lakes of East Haddam. So I will be spending my 60th birthday, at least in the morning, for a couple of hours listening to an East Haddam budget workshop. And we've applied to try to maybe get some more money from them to help us with our dam and that kind of thing. So we are pushing them to maybe help us, you know, with some funds for that, just like they have for dredging projects and stuff in the past. So that's what we've been up to. If you want any more specifics on these grants, you really want to read them, I'm happy to, you know, send you the grant itself and what we filled out. I'm always asking, one of our LIT members is a retired nuclear engineer, and I'm always asking him questions about what I'm reading. He goes, Quinn, I'm not a chemist, I'm a nuclear engineer. And I'm like, okay, you're making me feel better because you don't understand some of this, but it's good I don't either.
Oh, man.
I'm certainly happy to send you copies of the grants if you want to see, if you want to read some of the meanings of what we're trying to do. And I want to thank Cindy. She had to sign off on the Connecticut Deep grant, and I drove her nuts because the first piece of paper I gave her to sign was long, and then we made some changes. I think she signed it 3 times by the time I was done with her. So thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you, Corinne, and your committee. No, you guys rock. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It amazes me how much knowledge that the few people that you have on your committee, it's amazing to me that we could never do this without those people with that.
Yeah.
No. We are very lucky. Yeah. We're very, especially, I don't want to point, there's workhorses. I mean, 10 people. But we are so lucky to have Dean Gowan on this.
Yeah.
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 This is her life's work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we're lucky she has some time to help us, even though she's very busy. So anyway.
Yeah, we really are.
Yeah.
Thank you, because you put a lot of time in. So thank you for everything.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Appreciate it. Any questions for Corinne?
So I have now made the Geese Committee a committee. So Evelyn, go baby.
Okay. Kathy, were you happy with the answers to your questions?
Well, yeah, I mean, she answered them. I'm not necessarily happy, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, I don't, I just think that looking for nests at first, second, and third beach needs to be the whole lake.
And let me update.
And I understand that the rest of the lake is private property, so she doesn't want to do it for the rest of the lake. Right? Isn't that what she's saying?
To go into people's property, she needs permission. However, let me update.
Okay.
I did speak to the gentleman who previously did the X.
Okay.
Not going to get into detail about the conversation.
That's okay. We don't need details.
So he has agreed to help us find the nest. And he has told me where he found them last when he did them. Typically over by me.
Yeah, that's right.
Over by the ice house and down Corinne's way. The dam way down that way. So
really?
They're gonna go. We talked to her and I talked about the beaches first because sharing the access. But they're going to go where they're up on a little bit of a hill where they can see the water,
mm-hmm.
but not, and have access to the water, but and still be able to watch predators. So kind of be out of the way. So I spoke to Lynette again today, and she, you know, will come out from Saturday and walk those areas that I was told about and see what we can find. They're not here, I don't think, right now, and that's because the lake is frozen and
right.
It's too cold. They're not going to tear up yet. It's just too cold. So that'll be a start. I hope that answers.
Do you know this gentleman that previously did this? Do you know like how many nests he was working with when he went back when he did it? Out of curiosity.
No.
No. Okay.
We would have a private conversation around this kid.
Okay. Well, I know who it is, but
yeah, I mean it's not anything I want.
Okay.
In the minutes.
You got a party going on.
No, I'm on mute. I know my netiquette. This is what I do all day.
So do I. Is it okay? Do you go ahead with this, ma'am? She probably won't come this Saturday, looking at next Saturday. And she's not sure she's back. She's just going to come out and look.
Yeah, I guess there's somewhere, right?
She will be the one going out and taking care of the nest, though. I am not.
No, right.
I'm not walking out the lake. I'm not going out in the winter. If she can't walk on the lake, she'll go on a boat.
Yeah.
Like a kayak and a dog.
Okay.
So, I'd like permission to go ahead.
Yeah.
So, can you just put it in a nutshell what we're going to vote on now? Permission to go ahead.
But didn't you already vote?
Go ahead and have Lynette come down and find, you know, probably be 5 nests. And not sure, maybe she can do another nest if she's not doing as many visits because I have info of where they are now. But so we should go ahead and have Nutmeg Farms come down, start working, looking for the nest. She has already applied with the state to register. She hasn't heard back, but she has applied. She will put us on her insurance policy. And so I want permission to start, to have her come down probably next Saturday and start.
Didn't we agree at our last meeting to spend up to $1,000?
Yeah. So just go.
There were some questions.
Just go.
That I wanted to have answered first. So.
Okay.
Good. Sounds good.
You good?
Go
okay.
For it.
Yep. Thank you.
So, do we need to vote on that?
We already voted on it once.
We voted, but there was questions.
Yeah.
That's fine. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. That's another thing that's a lot of work. I'm glad I'm not part of it, but thank you for doing that.
Mind numbing.
The other committee I had was public safety, and I think Bonnie sent all of us today her her public safety report. One of the things she had on there was purchasing new parking passes, which really aren't due till 2022, but right. She had excess money in her budget that she didn't spend on security last year, so do we want to allow her to go ahead with that?
I think it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to read it. Is she using them to after the current ones expire, or is she having these ones expire sooner and starting fresh again?
It was my understanding that they were going to expire for 2022, so she was just looking, and she still has money in her budget, so she was looking to just spend the money now, so she uses up the money in her budget and be prepared for 2022.
Right.
That's what I understood, too.
That's what I understood it to be.
Okay, so nobody has a problem with that?
No.
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 Okay.
I do have a question on the security.
Yeah.
What does she hire security for?
She hires security for events at the pavilion, like, during the band, during the carnival, Lake Hayward, that kind of thing.
I don't remember the last
security, it's just police presence. It's just police presence.
She hired police, but I think we asked her to look into, having private security sometimes, different weekends to stop the people from coming into the, using our beaches.
Are you going to have that
I know, you still do.
I'm just going to deputize you.
me and Angela's daughter, Maddie.
I don't really honestly know what she intends to do, and she's not on tonight, so I don't know.
I guess I didn't realize when some of the police car is sitting like on Ridgewood Road at an event, we're paying for that.
Yes, all the time, because they randomly do it themselves, too.
Right.
There are times we do pay for it.
Okay.
Do we pay for it or 2 meetings every year? I think we do, right? Yes.
Two
meetings? Get that routing that we need security?
Yeah.
Really, I'm not
going to.
Only
a couple
years ago.
Maybe we can
ask. Remember, it's not, a lot of the times it's not the fact about the rowdiness, it's that we need the parking for the associates. Remember we don't want other people coming from out of town taking up the parking.
And I think when we have 100 people under the pavilion and the those people go whizzing through the stop sign,
we got that right.
That's a danger thing.
Absolutely.
If nobody's sitting in the parking lot, I think that's part of it, too. So, I don't know, she didn't submit a really specific plan.
Well, maybe we can ask Bonnie to come up with a list just for our own, you know, just so everyone knows basically like what events she usually has security for, just so we all have knowledge of it.
That's a good idea, because I really don't understand it.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I will ask her to come up with a list more specifically of what we're having, and if one of you says, oh, we're having ladies' night and there's a lot of drinking going on, we need, you know, I think it's a good idea to just...
just see your face, Cindy.
You find out what...
Yeah, we can just ask her what she did in the past, and, you know, so we can get a feel for it.
So I will ask for that. So I think that's all the committee reports, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, old business. Is there any old business?
Well, I
don't know if this is old or new business.
Yeah, I have something too.
Our cell phones. Are we going to reopen that?
What?
We received an email from Bonnie thinking that our cell phones should be on the webpage.
I've never had mine.
Absolutely not. My vote.
Okay, well, I did some research. Thanks to Angela, our techie, who sent me the business thing.
I'm so proud of you, Evelyn.
I did it. Office 365 voice.
At Google, too, yeah.
Yeah, she was familiar with Google, but because we have the Office 365, I called Dynamic Alliance. We were on first-name basis the last few weeks. I know the woman, but anyway. So they sent me this kind of an invoice, and he sent me an email explaining what it is. So what it does is it puts a number on the contact sheet on the webpage.
Hmm.
And then each member gets an ID. So you call that one number, and the person who's calling in can't see what your ID is. They pick, okay, say they want Kathy, they pick 2, and it goes to Kathy. So it would be anonymous. You know, not anonymous. They wouldn't be able to tell who what our numbers are. It doesn't give out any personal information.
Yeah.
It's just one number. It's a little more detailed and complicated than what I'm explaining it, but it's kind of like if you call, do you want one for customer service? Do you want two to place an order? That kind of thing.
But it would go
to the
okay. Yes.
Is there a fee?
Huh?
Is there a fee?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can Google Voice. It's, Google Voice is free, so I do it for things.
Yeah, Google Voice is free.
Because of the office 365, I looked at that because we're at freedom of information and all that other stuff that Lincoln in.
I believe the difference with Google Voice is you wouldn't have that option, I don't think, of choosing. I can check into it. You know, option 1, 2, 3. I think you can just make it ring at everyone's phone number at the same time. And whoever picks up gets the call.
Yeah, no, this is
great.
I'll never pick it up.
So I use Google Voice when the schools close, like, suddenly in March, and I have 8 elementary schools of teachers and principals that come to me for things, and I did not want them all having my personal cell phone. So basically with my personal email, I set up this account, and my phone would ring, but it was almost like a different ringtone, so I would know that it was someone calling from there, and it would signal me that it wasn't someone coming to my regular phone, and then it wouldn't go into my voicemail, but into my Gmail there'd be a recording that was the voicemail. So it kind of kept it separate a little bit, that it didn't get mixed up with my personal voicemail, and it was a different ringtone, but it was a way when, like, the world closed suddenly, that people had a way, if they needed to talk and not use email, that they were able to do that without me putting my cell phone out there for the whole world. So I said to Evelyn, if it's something that we think that some of the membership really needs, if it's something that we could do and it's cheap enough or reasonable enough, but I do not want my cell phone, my personal cell phone, on a public website by any means. But if we think there needs to be phone numbers in some capacity, I don't know if this would make sense.
It's about $200 a month.
Ooh,
it's too much. That's a lot. In addition to what we're already paying. But they would waive the setup fees. I didn't know it would be that much when I started asking. But
yeah, that's expensive.
Yeah.
I would like to ask that we could just try this season with just our email.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
And see how it goes and see what feedback we get, and then we can make a decision in the future.
Yep.
I can try to look into a Google Voice if there's a way just to have it go to a voicemail or just to go to an email so it, like, people can call, but it goes to your email and then you can call them back from there.
By show of hands, how many of you have a personal Gmail account?
A personal Gmail account?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
because you could probably get Google Voice to your personal Gmail, but it's not all of us, so, okay.
No.
Easy enough to create their Gmail account. That's
yeah, but I'll double check and make sure that it's still free with all Gmail accounts, that it's not, they have to have a certain package, because I feel like that company changes those things every day.
Not that, like, I want to put the onus on other people, but if 4 people have Gmail and they're the ones that get the message, they could always go, hey, I got a message, call it. They could call Angela and go, hey, Angela.
Yeah, I don't want to put my email account on there.
I don't mind if somebody emails me and say, can I call you? And I give them the phone number, but I do not want it on our webpage.
Well, trust me, people, that when I was president before cell phones, our house phone would ring and the whole message machine would fill up. I do not want it. Get into phone.
And was it ever really a true emergency, Cindy?
Absolutely not. It was my neighbor is burning paper and the smell is coming into my house. So it is, yeah. No, I definitely do. I'm not kidding. I do not want.
No, I believe
anything.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
The last thing you want is Sandra Brown leaving a voicemail on your
phone.
I get those all the time.
Let's just try 1 year, 1 season, to see how it goes with the emails and see if we get any complaints other than from previous board members.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sounds
that's
good.
My recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so where are we?
I had something I wanted to bring up, Sin, under old, I consider it an old business, I don't know. But now that we have moved on kind of with the whole Byron thing, I think that I just want to vocalize my opinion on having the survey, continuing just to do random surveys, because we may just end up in the same boat all over again that we were with Mr. Byron. So it's my feeling that I don't think that we need to be doing surveys unless there's a specific need for it. I don't know how everybody feels about that.
I think we need to continue just to get everything down and get maps done and have them on file, and I think it's important to continue the process.
Yeah, because we had no real maps of where our property boundaries were. That's why we started it, really.
On the maps that are recorded in the town property maps?
Yeah.
And if there is a way to verify those maps are still current, unless people have made personal deals, it should be. Those maps should be what we need to follow. Because if you speak to Byron and you speak to the others, they say there are stakes and we ignore those stakes. So again, I don't know the right and the wrong. I mean, that is for someone with much more experience on this issue. However, if we start on this and then we go from what I had heard before, that we started from the club side and it was okay and came from the north end and it was not. And that made no sense to me at all. So I just don't know what the difference is when going from one end and the other. It shouldn't be.
Excuse me, Gary, how many more properties do you think we have to have surveyed?
We're probably at least halfway done, probably.
Okay.
We might have to get the budget every year to do it. I don't see why we just don't do it.
Well, yeah, it's not about the money. It's not about the money, in my opinion, for me, anyway. That's not why I'm bringing it up. But
yeah. I think we've gone this far. We should probably finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every year we did a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Okay. I thought we did the whole thing at one time. So we only did the...
No, not the whole lake.
Okay.
So we did two right
there. Spreading the money out here. Over years.
I gotcha. And I have gone to the town and pulled maps that are attached to the deeds of property, and it's hard to tell where those lines are from those maps. It's without the survey or stakes or some kind of marking.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard. Yeah. Everybody they're doing now, they're driving in metal stakes. They're below ground. So if you need to find them, they can be found. I mean, you have to be able to metal detector, but you can find them. Wooden stakes are nothing. People can move those around, do whatever they want with them. But the metal stakes are driven in the ground. And they're long. They're like 3 feet long. It's not easy to get out. And it gets a lot of stakes on anyway, but it's not... It'd be very difficult to get out. So we will know where our boundary lines are.
Gary, is any of this stuff done with GPS?
They do all the surveys now with GPS.
GPS, okay. That's not going to change.
So it sounds like everybody wants to continue with the surveys then.
Yeah.
Except me.
Yeah, we found it tomorrow. We should get it done. Yeah, we should.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't agree with it, but that's okay. Everyone doesn't have to agree with me.
Yeah, right. And I feel the same way that Kathy does. Unless there is a reason to do it, I'm not sure what we are accomplishing.
Right.
Especially if there's a dispute, we are going to back off and say, well, it's going to stay this way until that property is sold or there's a transfer of ownership, at which time we will do this. So that becomes the other dilemma. What are we really doing it for?
Well, I think if you own your property, you'd want to know where it is.
But we don't have property owners disputing that. We have the list.
Yeah, right.
No property owner has come to us and said there's a dispute with their property line. That's what I want.
Right, yeah.
No, but it's easy to see.
if you basically own pieces of property, I would want to know where to line up.
Well, you have a deed. When you bought your property, you have a deed. And now the only thing you can do is have a challenge from the lake where you have to pay money to challenge it, because before, when you bought it, you had a deed. I don't get it.
I think it's a good idea to get it. To get
it done. It is a weird conundrum with it, you know, and how it started.
Right.
Unfortunately, the whole process started with someone complaining about the Third Beach parking lot in your property, Cindy. That's how the process started.
But regardless of how it started.
Yeah. Right. It could have just stopped there, yeah. though, you know.
The fact is that the only thing it's going to do is cost property owners money in some way, shape, or form we have cost.
And no benefit to the association or to the property owner itself. So I'm not sure why we continue to waste money.
Right. Well, I don't know that it's necessarily a waste of money. If we find out we've got lakefront property, when we get the Byron property back, then we should probably leave it alone. Don't clear it. Leave it alone. Let it grow naturally. To deter runoff, that kind of thing. I don't know how. How you do half the lake and then just all of a sudden stop? Because obviously some homeowners have now had to do some adjustments. They got to move stuff, and now all of a sudden you're not going to complete the task. I don't know if it's fair to the homeowners that have now had to move things and comply and not
I'm sure.
You know, I don't think it's for nothing. I hope when we get the Byron property back, we just leave alone, let the grass grow, let the trees grow, and don't clear it, and just let it be one spot where runoff doesn't go into the lake. I think there's a purpose to it.
I know the risk is extremely low, but you also have that thing of, Jesus, a tree falls on someone on a property, and then all of a sudden the homeowner's like, oh, no, that's the association property. No, it's your property. No,
you know what? That's another thing I have, and Gary will attest to this. Doesn't matter. When the association tree fell on my car, I had to pay for it.
Right. Yeah, it's not the same tree, but if someone gets hurt or something, there could be a liability.
It's the same thing, Jason.
Yeah.
That's the point.
I mean, there are many ifs and buts, but at the end of the day, what are we doing this for? What is the purpose of this exercise? And I'm not clear on that.
Right. Well, we're paying taxes on these properties that we own, the association, and that's one of the reasons, and also to have some control over what happens with the property. Leave it run naturally. Let's not let anyone build a driveway there. Let's not let anyone clear all the trees. I don't know. There are reasons for it.
There's reasons on both sides.
Yeah.
So I think we need to bring this up again. Think about it.
Okay.
We're obviously very divided on this. I don't know if it'll come to a vote, but I think we all need to really think long and hard about it. And we'll talk about it in March. Is that okay? Is that fair?
Yep, that's fair. I think if we do that,
council to tell us. I mean, I don't think we can all of a sudden say we're going to stop doing this and everyone is on the rest of the property. No. You know, go ahead with your life. I don't know. As a board, we can say
no. I'm just getting the board majority opinion. And yes, we'll talk to Attorney Cohen.
I think also before we make a decision, if Gary can get a list of what properties still need to be surveyed, so we act. If there's only one left to do, but the one probably there's 10 to do, that's another story. You know.
Right. Yeah. Again, and being new to the board, like, you know, is it random or is it systematic? And where are we in that systematic progression? And how, I think that's kind of helpful if we're going to discuss that in March. Maybe if Gary gets that to us before March, we kind of have that information before any further discussion. Just know when we started, how many are done, how many are left, what is costing us, you know, has it given us property back and had a stain, or is it only, caused us to put money out? I think it's just kind of helpful information as someone who's new and has no idea to have an actually educated opinion when we have that conversation in March.
I know there's one piece of property right away down by past Third Beach. The people down there want it opened up. We have really no idea exactly where it is. So you just can't go in there and start cutting away on people's property. You got to know where that right away is.
Well, that would be a reason. to do that one specific property.
Right, and it would break my heart that, okay, we find out where it is, and now we're going to go in there and cut all the trees down. And I mean, just, that would not be the proper use of association property, but that's another discussion. But anyway.
With the right-of-way, it's not association property, right?
No, I think he's talking about he's talking about down from the water.
Oh, he said right of way, so that's what I thought.
And there's a right of way there, and then there's some in front of water, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we shouldn't clear anything in front of the water if it's not a right of way.
It's not.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So I guess we agree to disagree on that, and
we can talk about it again.
And Gary, you think that there's only one more property that's in dispute?
Oh, no, there's several more properties.
Okay, so can you get that list? Can you?
I'll get a list. I'll show you a list of
them. Can you send that email to all of us so that by March we've looked at it and we have formed an opinion?
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, so. I don't think there's any more old business, right?
Cindy, the only other thing that is under old business, I'll just bring up, we talked about the sound system. I'll do some research, and I'll get some prices on amplifiers, microphones, speakers, that kind of stuff, so we can know what we're talking about for money for the sound system.
Okay.
And you're going to have a handle on that, right, Dave?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get some prices, and I'll talk to Angela, and we'll have something to report next month.
Is $1 million wired for speakers?
Yes. When we built the new pavilion, if you go into the door on the right hand side, walk in there, you'll see a bunch of blue wires coming out from the ceiling. I ran those so that we could put speakers on the outside corners. If you look up on the north end of the pavilion, it's either the east side or the west side, there's a round plug. It's a wooden plug. If you pop that wooden plug out, the wire should be right there.
Okay.
So, it just be a matter of purchasing the hardware, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome.
New business, anything? Angela, did you cover all your new business?
So the only thing that I wanted to bring up and just have in the minutes, because we talked about it through email, and I know it'll be a work in progress and not an overnight overnight thing, but I think it's really important as a board that we commit to being to using what office has available to us to have documents prepared and ready to pass off to the person who is taking over our position or to the next board. We have lots of conversations, like asking each other, well, how did this happen or where did this go? And like, poor Lee is the patient of the stakes. I email at me all the time, and Evelyn and Kathy, like, people are great about answering questions, but I think that, you know, the association is using money to pay for all of the things that Microsoft has to offer, and it's really easy to have things in folders and shared. So when, you know, I don't even know which of y'all are leaving in August and coming off the board, if you're deciding to do so, but to leave your things behind so the next person that takes over has, has a list, and it's not that, like, I know one day Cindy was looking for something and Kathy was going through old emails trying to find it because Cindy's new on the board. Like, it should just be there. We're paying for the service, and I know for some of us it's going to be a learning curve, and it's not going to happen overnight, but I think because the technology is there that we should try to work towards it. I'm not by any means a guru in Microsoft. I'm teaching myself. If it was Google, I would have you all schooled in 2 seconds because that's where I live my life. But I'll be happy to help. Or Evelyn and I talked about even seeing if, you know, with what we pay for Microsoft, if someone would come on and do, and like, you know, present their screen and do a little meet and just kind of teach us a little bit so that we're a little bit more comfortable and do some kind of, some help us in that way. But I think it's something that we really need to consider.
Thank you.
I keep asking Dynamic Lines about some kind of video or something to teach us more about
training
side, and I haven't gotten any responses on it.
Yeah, my only response to you, Angela, is, you know, you're amazing, but we're old.
So bear with us. Yep.
You know, I agree that we should definitely be schooled in that. And I'm learning it little by little. I still am not comfortable with Microsoft personally, but I think we all agree we want to get there.
Yep.
And we'll work for it.
but bear with us because it's going to take a while.
Yeah, and again, I'm not by any means a guru in Microsoft, but there's a few things that I do know well. Google links to kind of help anybody. I made these little videos, and it's so funny because, like, a few of you opened them, and it was great, and I know other people had trouble.
Yeah, I can play it.
I'll look into that, and I'll see if Microsoft even has some things, like, that they already have, like, pre-made, if we can't get any training through what we pay for. But, again, I just think, I think we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how was it done before, mm-hmm. where are these things, and... You know, again, we can't undo that, and it's not going to change overnight, but I think we should definitely try to move towards an improvement in that area and just making it a little
bit Yeah, maybe it should be budgeted for going forward, you know, like a class for every new board every new year.
Yeah, if everyone gets some info on that, because, yeah, they haven't shared anything with her yet. Yeah, maybe.
I should try.
I've talked to them too, and I think even if you have a class, it's still a learning curve. You know, it still takes a while to get used to working with a particular system. So, yep. Sorry, my thing's going dead.
All right.
So, Angela, we certainly will try to do that.
Yes, I'm going to try very hard to get everything that I have into the shared area of Microsoft.
I have a question. I don't know, and maybe I have gone up to use the restroom, but COVID was under old business. Did we talk about that and I just missed it?
No.
No, we didn't talk about that. Because I don't think anything changed, right?
Okay, I didn't know if there was something we were going to talk about. I just didn't know, so I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
It could status quo, really. I mean, you know, we've got to be...
Too early to even plan as to what's going to happen this summer.
Yeah.
In many ways, because we, even with the vaccination program in place, there's still a lot more that's happening that hasn't really been worked out. Even after you receive the vaccine, doesn't mean that you won't get colonized, that you won't spread the disease, or the mask wearing and all that is still going to continue. So there's a lot of unknown still.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I guess there's nothing new to say on COVID and status quo at this point. So that'll still become part of our whole business in the future. Any other old business to discuss?
Just one thought, and you have brought that up with regarding the strategy planning committee. I think what I would like to do is to place another request for membership to participate.
Right.
In the spring package, and then kind of see if we can get some people involved, especially some of the new people who are coming to the community might be nice to have their input from. So we'll see whether we can at least try to get some participation from everybody. And as for the, I have spoken to Brian Smith, the state representative for Colchester, and left a message for Norm Needleman to call me back, as well as Irene Hayes. I haven't heard from the latter two, but Mr. Smith did give me a call and we chatted, and he said that he will try to talk with Norm Needleman as well as Irene and kind of see if they can together help us with regard to, you know, grant funding from the state for the dam. However, he kind of warned that this year, especially with the way the economy has been, that it's very unlikely that there will be any progress on that front, but that he would start the process at least to kind of see whether he can help us. So if anyone knows anybody, any of the legislators, I think it's worthwhile to contact them, because more people call them, the more it becomes their problem.
Right. So, Hema, you just have to keep pounding that into the membership. In every newsletter, you have to keep pounding that in so that
the need
people are aware and, how important that is.
Kind of, if you can provide the numbers and names, too, that would be a help, because we have published
the Senate Republicans and the Senate Democrats, and the House Republicans and the House Democrats, and then they transfer you. So it's, and then you leave a message. You never really get.
You can email Norm Edelman because I've done that, and he's been very helpful personally. You can find personal emails for him.
Oh, okay. I will try to look for that.
Yeah, and if you don't have them, I have them. And it's, his research assistant is Brooke, and she's been very helpful for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, I need to...
We should post that in the newsletter.
Yeah. All right, I will write something up and try to get it over in time for the newsletter.
All right, so we all know that we have to put our submission to Jason by March 15th for the newsletter, right?
The spring packet, right? Newsletter, yeah.
Yeah, the spring packet.
Yeah, the spring packet.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, have you, like, you probably did, and I didn't see it. You sent an email, like, you want a specific font, specific size, and that kind of thing, like we do for the newsletter?
I did not, but I would assume we might want to keep the same as we have for the newsletter. I don't know what that
okay.
is.
No,
but
yeah, I think it's an Aramond or something. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Aramond 10, I think it is.
March 15th. What is the font again? I think it's Garamond 10.
Garamond.
Yeah, I think so too.
If you look at an old newsletter, it usually says it on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll find out. I'll look, Angela. Okay.
I'm looking
is
right
20
now.
Pages too much from what? Can you condense it to like one?
We're not printing it. It doesn't cost us anything, no matter how long it is.
No one will read it.
Any other business to discuss? Well, thank you guys. I think this was a really positive meeting.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yes, it was.
8:37.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Oh, we're getting better. So we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?